Welcome to Factum Agri, dedicated to New Zealand's primary industry. Each week, I talk with farmers and growers, industry, the science community, and policymakers to hear their news and views on matters relevant to both our rural and our urban communities. You have to wonder when the farmer will catch a break. The 54% drop in forecast earnings comes on top of a profit hit last year. Land prices are forecast to drop 12% this year and mutton 34%. That could see the average farm profit reduced to just $62,000. Reduced demand from a weak Chinese economy, coupled with increased meat exports from Australia, are both significant factors in driving down prices. Some areas have seen good growing conditions, but for many areas it's been very dry, which compounds the challenges when considering the poor market conditions, particularly on the sheep side of things. We all need to acknowledge the challenges that farmers are facing right as we speak. Yet, sheep should be, in my mind, one of the most profitable animals to farm. Not only as protein, and I sound like a broken record, but wool is one of, if not, the most sustainable products in the world. And farmers currently make no profit from it. In fact, in most cases, they pay to have it taken away. Isn't that just nuts? Anyway, today I have the second part of my interview with Anthony Snodgrass from Koroneikai Developments on planting native trees. We pick up talking about what native species are currently being planted in the north where he works. What native species are you predominantly planting or farmers are choosing to plant? Does that vary depending on the area that you're working in?
Yeah, so every site for us has a specific mix to what's going to go in there. So like okay. a steep dry bank has a completely different mix to like a wetland. And so yeah, different like things like Kānuka, Pittosporums, Ribbonwood, Hebe, Akiaki, they go really good on dry sites. But if we put them in wet areas, they would just give up. So we're planting mostly colonizing species with so our mixes are generally all colonizing species, and then we do 2-3% of like faster growing hardy canopy species, so they're the likes of Kaikatea for wet areas, Totara, Rewariwa, Taitoki, and Kowhai. And so what you're trying to achieve with planting out an area is you want canopy closure as quickly as possible.
Right.
So colonizers are things, Mānuka, Kānuka, Kadamu, Mahoe, Pittosporums, Ribbonwood, Wineberry, and then your like Toi Toi and Flax and cabbage trees, and then Carexes and Sedges for wet areas. And so those grow, like for natives, they grow really quickly and they create, and they're generally quite bushy plants. And so what you're at 1.5 spacing, sort of after 3 to 5 years, those plants will all join together to suppress grass, suppress weed. Like most weeds don't really like shade, so it will stop weeds growing. And then their leaf matter and just the shade will create a humus layer. And so over 50 to 100 years, and what we're planting will subside away, and birds will bring in more longer living species. And so the 2% canopy species that we put in, they are to create a seed source for those longer living species. We're putting a big range of plants in, like things like Kadamu, Mahoe, Ribbonwood, Wineberry, and then Flax, like those trees all have berries which the birds come in to feed on. And then in Flax, obviously the tui love the nectar. And so then birds will bring in seed from more established bush, and when they come to feed on the berries, and then they will drop those longer living species, and then the longer living species like that humus layer, and then the protection from like the shade, and they will grow up through the canopy species. Whereas, so that's why, yeah, 1.5 spacing, that happens really quickly.
Yep.
And then planting canopy species, like, yeah, things that grow really quickly and grow on a variety of sites, colonizing species, is really important. Like the, yeah, when we do our first release, the totara that we put in and stuff, that wouldn't have even moved in size, whereas the colonizing species have already shot up 200 or 300, couple of hundred mil in that, you know, in that first sort of 2 or 3 months. So
yeah, okay.
I get a lot of questions about planting, you know, like retiring a hillside and planting totara and things like that as a wood source. But they're very slow growing, and a lot of the totara we see, you know, standing in the middle of a paddock on farms is hundreds of years, like at least they're probably 50 to 100 years old. It's just stuff that's regenerated. But yeah, it takes a long time, and it's going to be very hard to achieve, like creating good trees like that. So, and then, yeah, another important thing is having good diversity with berries. Like a lot of really planting to do it cost effectively, they'll be just putting Manuka and Kanuka in. And it's almost like monoculture, you know, you just don't have that. It takes a very long time for other species to come in to be introduced, because you just don't have a lot of seed for those sorts of things. Whereas if you can put a percentage of, you know, even a small percentage of Karamu and stuff like that, which is really hard and fast growing, you're just going to have, in the long run, have a better project.
And you touched on that you have your own nursery as well. Do you produce enough plants in your nursery for all the work that you do?
Yeah, so in the last year we've got to that point. So we plant 100, last two winters we've planted 180,000 trees a year. So we've, over time we've built up our nursery to that point. And so previously we work with other nurseries that supplied really good plants and bought plants from them. But yeah, this is the first year we're growing all our own, which is good. So we basically can supply all our own trees, which is nice.
Okay. And are you seeing a significant growth or uptake in farmers planting native trees, not just with your business in mind, but in a general sense?
Yes and no. Like, I think a lot of it comes down to funding. And so what funding is available. So yeah, like I talked about that corridor project. So that's, yeah, and then like catchment groups and they obviously apply to get lots of funding. But I also think we're still like working with the tip of the iceberg and then like the pioneers/leaders in terms of like wanting to improve the biodiversity on their farm. Like there's definitely farmers that want to do it, and then there's other farmers that not necessarily they don't want to do it, they just not a priority for them in their budget.
Yeah.
And then yeah, I've been to meetings where they like with the corridor project, where they're basically getting all the planting done for them, paid for them, and they're just saying, no, I'm not going to move the fence back there. It's been like that for X amount of time and it's fine. So, it's like anything. There's definitely early adopters, but it's a good word for them. And there's people that have been doing it for a very long time. So there's always more to be done. I suppose the funding side of things is like there's always different funding available, and so if you're shown to be doing something on your farm, you'll always be able to tap into different funding. So like at the moment, we've got farmers that are like Open Country Dairy. They're basically giving 50, like if you plant if you plant 20 grand worth of trees, they'll give you 10 grand of it back, and they'll cover your releasing, some of your releasing as well. And then if there's an area in the Waikato here, in the Waipa, that if you're in this area, the council's relatively easily give you 35%, reimburse you 35% for your planting. And so those farmers are getting, 85% reimbursed for their planting. And so, it's a no-brainer for them to try and get as much done as they can. And so, it comes down to, funding for a lot of people. But, corridor projects and catchment groups are a great way of introducing farmers to native planting. And then we say a lot of farmers get addicted to it, and then they go on and continue on with that catchment group or apply to places like Trees That Count and just try and make it happen on their own a lot more. More, everyone's doing what they can, I think. Just funding's probably the biggest restriction at the moment.
Okay, so now what's your view on the pine tree? Do they have a place in this country?
Well, obviously we have a need for timber for building houses and things like that. So I think, like, I spend a lot of time mountain biking in Rotorua, and like that's a really well managed pine forest. It's got recreation involved with it. It's sort of multi-use, and it's not taking up valuable farmland. Whereas planting pines, shutting up the gate and just leaving them, I don't think that's a good way to go about it. A, pines are bred for growing really fast, and then after 25, 30 years, what's going to happen to them? They're all going to probably fall over and going to have fire issues and slash issues and all that sort of thing. But by doing that, you're also taking away community. And so, if every, like it only take, like even one farm employs, there's the farmer, but there's also five, six people, casuals that, and then shearers and all those kind of people that work on farms. And so by removing that, just things like country schools and all that sort of stuff eventually just shut down. So, obviously well-managed pine forests are fine in the right areas. But the other thing I see a lot with pines is 25, 30 years ago, a lot of farmers planted like quite small areas for pines as sort of a, retirement fund slash bit of extra cash. But those areas are increasingly hard to get harvested, like just the cost of getting the pines out, and then by the time you refence and put tracks in that the large equipment needs, it's just not economic. So by planting in natives, you'll never have to cut them down, and it'll become a very maintenance-free area, and they'll sort of look after themselves, and it'll become an asset to the farm rather than a liability.
And if farmers out there listening that are considering planting a native forest or native trees, how can they get in contact with you and start the process?
So best place is our website, so koroniki.co.nz. And just reach out on there, and we can come and have a look and recommend the best way to go about it. But if anyone from around the rest of the country would like advice on planting, so we service the Waikato and Bay of Plenty. But if you're from anywhere else and just need help, just reach out. You can either give me a call, phone number's on my website, our website, or send an email. I'm more than happy to help out. The more planting that gets done, the better, really.
Thank you very, very much for your time today.
No problem.
If you're interested in planting natives or need some professional advice on the subject, reach out to Anthony at Koroniki Developments, and his website is www.koroniki.co.nz. To all the farmers out there battling away, let's hope for rain. Let's hope for better market conditions. We all need you to be profitable, And the country needs you to keep feeding us and keep generating export revenue. I think it's time policymakers take a hard look at ways to support you rather than looking for ways to make it harder. And that's all from me this week. Thank you for listening. Catch you next time.